Welcome to the Expert Economy Podcast with your host, Naomi Johnson, three times author, LinkedIn guru, profile writer, and founder of the Expert Economy, the place where industry's best thinkers come to glean the tips and wisdom they need to build their business, life, and mindset and create abundance for themselves and the clients they serve. Now, here's your host, Naomi Johnson.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Expert Economy Podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about how to fail forward like a pro. Now, what is failing forward? Well, I'm going to get into that as we go into this podcast, but let me first tell you why it is so important as expert entrepreneurs that we really come to know what failing forward is and we take it on board in our businesses. Now, the reason why this subject is so close to me is because as I started my business in 2005, I discovered that I really did qualify as the worst boss in history. And as you're getting into your businesses or been into them for a while, you may start to realize that you are the worst boss ever as well. And the reason is because of our self-talk and the type of things that we tell ourselves about our performance. We tell ourselves things that we would never tell someone who is working for us. Or if they were working for us and they were failing, we'd be a lot more gentle to that person than we are to our own selves. And so when we do that, we really pull ourselves down and we say very negative things about ourselves. And half of the time we may start saying something negative about ourselves or evaluating our performance as good or not good is when we fail to meet our goals. So I think we can all agree that we all need goals in our business. We all need something that we are aiming for, because if you aim at nothing, you will hit nothing. So we need to set goals in our business. But the problem with this is that the likelihood of us hitting that goal in our first, second, third month of business is really, really minuscule, because we don't have the skills, we do not have the knowledge, we do not have the network, and there's a number of things that we're building structures around and getting used to and getting going that we need to get going in order to meet that goal. Now, if we had a goal like that said we're going to make £5,000 in our first month of business, and we don't hit it, how are we going to feel? And if we said to ourselves, well, realistically, having a goal of £5,000 a month is good, but the chances of me hitting my first month are low, so I'm not going to aim for that. I'm going to aim for something like maybe around 1,000. I'd just be happy with one client if they paid me 1,000. What we are doing when we do that is we are actually starting to filter our information and our activities to end up with £1,000. Now, the structure of a business that gets £1,000 in compared to the structure of a business that gets £5,000 in per month are very, very different. So if you set a lower goal for that month, what you are doing is actually only gathering the learning and the information and putting in the structures necessary to make that lower goal. But we want that higher goal, and we want that higher goal consistently. So here's the thing. In order for us to hit that higher goal consistently, we have to aim for that goal. We have to set the goal, that really, really high goal of 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, whatever it is, it's going to meet that overall annual income that we want, what we desire in our business, that we have said is what we need to earn in equivalent to having a full-time job. So we've left industry, we've come into self-employment, we now need to replace that income and then earn above that substantially, otherwise it's not worth doing. If we don't set that as our goal, then what are we doing? So we need a high goal, but we're not likely to achieve it in that first month. So here's the thing. When you set goals and you don't achieve them, how do you feel? Do you feel like a failure? Do you feel like someone who's incompetent and can't do what you set out to do? Probably not the first month, maybe not the second month, but by the third month, there are goals written down that you are not achieving. How do you feel about that when you constantly see yourself not hitting this goal? Now, I want to propose to you that there is another way of approaching this. That is to set the intention. My intention is to earn £5,000 per month. My intention is to earn £20,000 per month in my business. Not in 6 months' time, but right now. That is my intention. Because like I said, what you set out as your intention will be the structures that you put in place and the activities that you do and all the things that you are aiming for. So if it's in the future, in 6 months' time, I want to earn that, but not today, that's kind of exactly what I was just talking about. The example of I'll start with 1,000, go to 5,000. So we actually want to go with, I want 20,000. Because when you do that, your brain starts processing differently. And it's just like Google. The quality of the question you put into Google is the quality of the answer that you get back. So if you set the intention, I want to earn £20,000 per month, what do I need to do to make that happen? All of those answers are going to come to you. But when we set it as an intention, what we're doing is not actually putting a deadline on it. So we're not saying by the end of October, I would have made this amount of money and feel fantastic. What we're saying is, I'm going to make that much money. And every single month, I'm going to review my performance and see how well I did and look for the learning within what I've done and look for where I could have made improvements, where the structure needs to change, where I need to enroll different people to come along and work with me in order to hit that goal. So now what we're doing is we're filling in the gap. We've got the good intentions. We're asking the right questions. We're filtering the right answers coming at us, the right stimuli, the right business ideas and advice. And now we're implementing them. And we're not going to implement them perfectly every single time. We're going to implement some of them and do well. Then we're going to forget about those some things and do something else well. And then eventually, over time, we'll combine it all together and our performance will hit that 20 grand a month. And it is just the same for any profession or anyone taking on something new. You cannot expect a brain surgeon to come out of university and suddenly perform a really technical operation. And you cannot expect a new sports person who says, I'm gonna win the gold medal. You cannot expect that person to win that gold medal on their first outing out. There are many, many trials, many, many practice sessions, and they constantly go and go and go and go. And it can take years to hit that. And once they've got into the elite group, then they often stay in that elite group for a very long time because they have got all the performance techniques down. They've built all the muscles, all the skills, and now they can perform consistently in the pro level of that sport. So that's exactly the same as us. We want to be gentle with ourselves. We want to be kind with ourselves, and we want to review our performance as we go along. Anything else is really detrimental to our well-being. I say that because as you collect goals that you have not achieved, they can sit there as evidence for the things that you can and cannot do. And this can be so negative because next time you go and set a goal and say, I'm going to go for this, what happens is you go, yeah, but last time I set a goal, I didn't achieve it, did I? Last time I set a goal, I forgot about it. Last time I set a goal, it all failed in my, you know, it just failed and people laughed at me. I'm not going to do that anymore. And I can tell you from my own experience, that's exactly what happened to me. I left my job in 2005 and I started my business in 2006 and I went at it. And I would go to all these seminars and we'd write all of our goals down and, you know, like 2 minutes, write your as many goals down as you can in 2 minutes and the music would be pumping and you all be like, yeah, 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 yeah. And I'd write these goals down and then I'd forget about them. And then one day I'd be moving house or something. I'd be sorting out papers and I would find this list of goals. And honestly, I would think they belonged to my clients because I just didn't recognize them and I didn't recognize myself in them. And I would realize that they had come from all of these positive life coaching seminars, setting goals for your life, things that you're going to achieve, when actually they weren't aligned with me. They weren't aligned with my purposes. And so not only did I have the incorrectly set goals, even though I worked with professionals to set them, which maybe can never be achieved in a group event, actually, I just say that on the side. But I ended up getting to this point where I felt like nothing I set as a goal was ever worth achieving because I just wouldn't follow through on it, that it just wasn't going to work out. And for years, I would say like maybe a decade, I lived in this space of like never setting a goal. But what I actually realized was that in all of this time, although I didn't set a goal that would put me under that kind of pressure where I would say by this day I'll have done this, and actually I wouldn't have done it by then, I actually realized that what I've been doing the whole time was setting intentions. So when I started my business, a new person joined us in the office in the innovation space. So he was in a different company and we decided we were going to meet every single week and check in with our progress. In fact, we still do that now. And we both came up with an idea that what our businesses really needed was a residual income. of course. I think every business needs that. So it wasn't like an innovative idea. And it was just at the beginning, we said, right, it's time to go for a residual income where clients pay us every single month a set amount, and we can relax and know that any sales we do is keeping in with the momentum of the business and is what we should be doing, and not like, oh, thank God I get my bills paid today. So we set the residual goal. I think it was like £4,000. That was our beginning place. And so both of us had to look at what we were doing, and it changed our packages and our approach and what we were doing. And then we kind of, we got on with it. And I think we had a little break where we weren't meeting regularly. And then one day I got to phone him up and I said, I just realised I'm actually doing £4,000 residual every single month. He's like, really? Wow, how did that come about? And I said, well, we changed the packages and I said that I was going to go sell two of them a month, and I had done two of them a month, which is £8,000 in revenue, which breaks down to that amount per like residual income in installments. So I have achieved it. This is amazing. How did I get here? So right there in that story, you can see I did have goals and I did achieve them. The difference was that I set the intention to achieve them, and I gave myself space to say, okay, how well have I done this month? How well have I performed? Where did it not work? Where could it work better? What structures do I need to put in place for next month to really make this work? And I never let go of that intention, that goal that I was going to get to that point. It was just a goal without a date. Because people who set goals with dates, and it's a very powerful thing to do, and I'm definitely not poo-pooing doing that, but people who set goals with dates and achieve them are people who have the skills, the talent, and the, well, not the talent, we all have talent, the skills, and they all have the skills and the expertise to actually go out and apply those things. So somebody who is turning over in their business £50,000 a month, you can pretty much be sure that they've got some kick-ass skills in there, systems, processes, assets within the business, all different kinds of things, so brilliant. And then they decide that they want to kick up that, double it, triple it, whatever. All they have to do is more of the same to hit that goal. So hitting that goal in the month is really, really easy to do. But for you and I, people who are experts in our industry and what we do, we are actually learning a whole different set of skills on a completely different level. It is like going from being that swimming champion to saying, I'm going to go and do tennis now. And expecting to be a pro at the tennis as well. You're a pro at the swimming for your expertise in your industry, but now you're going to go and do tennis, and it's not going to come together straight away. And you need to give yourself time for that. And when you don't give yourself time for that, you end up in the situation where I was, where I literally had a pile of evidence to prove what I couldn't do. Could I really not do it? No, the answer was I could do it. I just, in that month, didn't do it. Or the goal I set wasn't actually aligned correctly. So it really wasn't a reflection on my abilities and what I could or couldn't do. But boy, did it become that for me. It was so detrimental and it really pulled me apart. And I'm talking like I've been in this for 15 years. And it's taken quite a lot of work to kind of clear off all that evidence and bring in the right evidence to prove what I can do and believe it. And it really comes down to setting intentions. Now, I want to talk to you about how you can do this as failing forward as a pro. So the whole concept of failing forward is to recognize the intention, see where you give it everything you've got. Like you are going for that 5,000, that 25,000, whatever it is this month, you are going for it. You are going to make it. And you give it absolutely everything. And then maybe you just hit it. Maybe you're going to be one of those people. But if you're not, what you're going to do is say, okay, I went for 20,000 and I made 5,000. What was the reason? I didn't do enough sales appointments. The sales appointments I did wasn't with ideal clients. I didn't pitch well enough. I didn't present the offering at the end. The structure of the sales call wasn't correct. I didn't speak to enough people. I didn't get enough leads in. I didn't show up to my business in the right mindset. I took a number of days off and I just felt really down with myself. I did it around writing my book in working hours instead of actually getting sales appointments in. There are so many things that you could have done or could do that would actually adjust that result. So what we're looking at is, what is the disparity between what you did achieve this month and what can you do differently next month to get you closer to that goal? Now, we're taking on a lot of skills and a lot of ways of being that are very, very new to us. So we're going to have to do that self-reflection and figure out where those changes need to be. So what I'd like to talk to you now about is this pro business. How do you do this failing forward as a pro? Because I can give you all of that conceptually and you can take it on month by month and you can look at it and go, oh, well, what did I do? And you can, of course, use my book, What to, my book, And of course, you can use my book, The Expert Economy, which is on the website www.theexperteconomy.co.uk, to actually figure out what you should be doing. And of course, you can come on the 8-week training program and really get into it. But that book will give you some of the guidelines of the things that you are looking to do and what some of the nuances are around what could happen and what could not happen. But what we really want to do is we want to get into a position where we're really reflecting on our own performance, because we don't have managers now. We don't have performance reviews. It's only down to us. And like I said about that really nasty boss earlier on, you are the boss and you need to be nice to yourself. So I want to tell you a little bit about what happened when I actually lost my first business in 2008, the coaching business, when I had to just, you know, the strongest and most winning thing I could do at that time was just to hold my hands up and say, enough is enough. I'm not going to continue with this business. And it actually was the same month as Lehman Brothers went down and the whole of Canary Wharf crashed, the global economy crashed. I actually could not blame the failure of my business on anything connected with that. I could only blame it on myself and my own ignorance. And I can't even have a go at myself for ignorance, because that's the whole nature of coming into something new. You're not born knowing it all. Some people are, but quite a lot of us aren't. And we need to give ourselves space and time for that. So when I was going through that time and everything was overwhelming and consuming, and you can read about it in my book, Grassroots to Green Shoots, which is available on Amazon. When I was going through that time, it was really hard because I couldn't hire a life coach. My friends weren't qualified to help. And frankly, they just weren't, now I look back on it, they weren't friends at all. Just the way things they said to me and how they were. There was no support available. And I was just entirely isolated on my own trying to figure this out. I was also so broke that I couldn't get on London transport. And I was also eating baked beans for every single meal. And at this point, my housemates had all gone away for the summer and rented their rooms out. So I was pretty much running a youth hostel and eating baked beans for dinner. Just really, really alone. Very, very hot summer. Broken shoes, no summer clothes. So I was, you just imagine, it was just awful. And there had to be something that got me out of this space. So what I did each night was I got a piece of paper and I started writing down coaching questions. And I tried to make sure that these coaching questions were as refined as possible. And over time, I actually whittled them down to 5 questions. And I still use those questions today, 12 years later. And in fact, I've put them all into a coaching book, which I use every day. So the questions I want to share with you right now, and then I want to show you how I take those questions and I put them into a weekly structure and then into an 8-week structure to really give me this feedback. And then I want to tell you about what's actually occurring for me right now and what's showing up for me in those coaching pages as I go through them. So the first question is really, really important, because the way we feel and the way we put ourselves out in the world is what we attract to ourselves. So the first question is, what am I grateful for? And this is such a key question, because it really kind of just shifts our vibration away from what's lacking and what we don't have to what's happening and what's good. And that could be our technology. It could be a safe home. It could be the food that we ate yesterday. It could be a kind word that someone said to us, or a friendship. Sometimes mine is that I live in a world where love trumps everything. Like, oh my God, that gets me. Like, love is the thing that knits this world together. I can live on a different planet in a different world. But I get to live in this one where that principle is true. That just shifts my vibration massively. So we want to write down all the things that we are grateful for, because it just changes our perspective and what we are able to manifest in the world. If you know anything about manifestation, you know that that goes together. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to ask the question, what did I do well today? Because we're so good at beating ourselves up and so good at looking at what's lacking. But actually, there are some really great things we're doing every day where we are starting to take consistent action and having good thought processes, and we are moving ourselves forward. So what I could say myself about what I did good today, and it's just shown up on my diary now for on these pages, for probably the last 70 days is I ate well today. And some days I'm having a right go at myself, but I ate well today, meaning I kept to my eating plan and I didn't divert and I didn't eat any chocolate or any sugar. Oh my God, no sugar. So I ate well today. And, you know, after 70 days, it comes kind of mundane that that's the way you eat and you're eating properly, right? That's good. But it's still an acknowledgement